Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Welcome back. Still joining me here are Independent Minister of State Michael Healy-Wray, Sinn Féin's Martin Kenny and Paul Lawless of Aintu. Now, you'll be hearing a lot this week about proposed changes to the EU's common agricultural policy, details of what EU chiefs have in mind for what is known as CAP were leaked to the media earlier this week and have caused a lot of concern in farming circles. Aisling Meehan is an agricultural solicitor, tax consultant and farmer. She's been outlining for me the basics of what CAP is and what it might become if these proposed changes go ahead.
CAP was introduced in 1962. Okay, so it's a European policy, and I suppose it's a couple of main aims. And I suppose initially it's to provide affordable food, a fair standard of living for farmers, ensure food security, which obviously we're very aware of now, and then finally to protect the environment and rural development. So the budget, it's a fairly big chunk of the EU budget. It makes up about 31% of the current EU budget, coming in at about 387 billion, of which about Ireland gets 7.53 billion over a 5-year period.
And so it breaks down at what, about 2 billion annually in CAP payments for Irish farmers. So that's what, about 120,000 farmers. So it's substantial.
It is a substantial payment, but obviously it varies depending on different sectors. Come to sectors such as cattle rearing, which would be more popular along, you know, the western seaboard, that makes up 132% of the family farm income. So they're hugely reliant on these subsidies in order to be able to survive, really.
And under this review, there's potentially plans to see some of the funds ring-fenced, reduced, some of the pillars merged to try and maybe streamline some of the policies. Do you think there's merit in what is happening in parts of this review?
Yes, of course. I mean, there's a lot of focus on generational renewal. It's a really challenging area across the EU and especially in Ireland. I suppose when you consider in an Irish context, only 7% of farmers who are landowners are under the age of 35. Over 30% are over 65 years. So it's a big issue in Ireland. So there's a big focus on generational renewal. There's a couple of different paragraphs that deal with it in the draft regulations. And they talk about things like, you know, bringing in proposals around member states developing starter packs for young farmers. Member states have to develop generational renewal strategy for farmers. And they also have to identify barriers for young farmers and new farmers. I suppose what is a bit of concern, we'll say, to me, is that there's a section in it whereby it provides under Article 6.6 that basically there's no more direct support to pensioners effectively by 2032. So, you know, I'd be a little bit concerned because obviously, you know, there's a lot of farmers in Ireland are of a certain age cohort. They don't have private pensions, you know, and they would generally be reliant on the state pension, which, you know, if it works out at about 14,500 per year, it would be very difficult to survive on that if they weren't also in receipt of the EU subsidies. Now, the other thing I think it's worth to highlight is that there is a differentiation between what's called Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 payments, and not to go too much into detail, but the direct payments or area-based payments come in under Pillar 1, and it's what they're proposing is that they would be cut off those payments, but that farmers, even after retirement age, could still potentially be in receipt of what's called Pillar 2 payments, which are payments predominantly activity-based payments, such as, you know, some people would be familiar with the acres payment, which is around environmental schemes and taking certain actions to farm in a more environmentally friendly way. So they're not talking necessarily about a complete cut-off. It's a cut-off on one aspect of the payments.
But there is a danger, even if this was phased in or it happened very quickly, you could have some older farmers here who have not been building a pension pot. They could financially struggle very, very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, even they're talking about it being phased in by 2032. I don't think it's enough of a lead in time.
For the listener who maybe isn't of a farming background, is there any way the CAP fund being reduced, these mergers, these changes, could have a direct, indirect link back to consumers that could link back to food prices? Obviously, something that's hugely in the news now in recent weeks, given reviews of cost of living again, inflationary pressures. Is there any consequences, direct or indirect, when it comes to the quality of the food produced?
But that is my overriding concern, is that I think it's consumers that are going to be hit in the pocket by this. You know, the reduced budget that's there, 300 billion, you know, is ring fence for a single CAP. But it's no longer a standalone fund. It's going to be merged with EU Cohesion Migration Infrastructure Fund. So, you know, the budget is continually being chipped away at. So the reality is that, you know, it's supply and demand. You know, we're going to have less farmers. We're going to have more demand for food. So that I would be really concerned about that.
Just finally, the agriculture minister this week talked about this review really being the start of a process. Do you think there's any advantage to Ireland holding the presidency of the EU Council next year when it comes to influencing what the final outcome is here?
Yeah, I do, of course. I mean, when you look at it, the negotiation of the next CAP follows a multi-stage EU legislative and budgetary process. There's political bargaining is going to intensify under Ireland's EU Council presidency in the second half of 2026. And it gives, you know, Ireland significant influence. When you look back at the, not the previous round of CAP, but the one before that, it was the CAP for 2014-2020. Simon Coveney was, you know, hugely influential in that, and he was widely credited with resolving years of deadlock over issues like greening, internal convergence, direct payments, etc. And, you know, Ireland successfully chaired negotiations and political agreement was reached in June 2013. That said, I would say, you know, the European Commissioner for Ag, he is quite dogged around generational renewal. He's, you know, very firm views in it. So I think, it will be a very difficult negotiating period over the next couple of years.
Aisling Meehan, agricultural solicitor and tax consultant there. That proposal that would see farmers lose their direct payments from the EU once they reach pension age has been the focus of a lot of attention in recent days. But what about the other side, the younger farmers who would arguably stand to gain if those proposals go ahead in some form? We've been hearing from Josephine O'Neill, who is president of Macra and the Firm at the organisation representing the country's younger farmers.
Well, I suppose, Anya, we do acknowledge that there are promising developments in relation to generation renewal. We welcome the inclusion of the starter pack for young farmers, which includes important tools for their social and their economic resilience. And we do welcome the importance given to young farmers, their needs and their future in their proposals. But I suppose the devil is in the details, so we will have to wait to see what the future will bring in terms of the actual cap that will be delivered for young farmers.
Because when you look at success planning or trying to get new farmers building new farmyards, how hard is it in the first instance for them to access land, get acreage going for themselves?
Well, this is something that we've been highlighting for a long time, Anya, the challenges that are facing young farmers in terms of succession, in terms of access to land, in terms of access to finance. If you put a young farmer who's trying to access land, land prices are very expensive. In terms of access to finance to purchase that land, they're going up against older farmers who may have far more collateral. So it is very challenging for young farmers to start up. And as such, it is important that we recognise the challenges that are out there facing our young farmers and that we have every support there to give them the best opportunity to actually be able to farm.
Would you have any concerns that under proposals such as this that may be optimised for those younger farmers, that there could be very difficult days ahead for those older farmers if we see the French type model play through, where you could come to a stage as an older farmer where you have to choose either between a pension or a cap payment? And what does that mean for, you know, legacy learnings and knowledge and the consistency of those traditional family farms?
Well, I suppose we in Macra have been calling for the delivery of a succession scheme for years now to ensure the transition of the managerial role from the older farmer to the younger farmer. But we recognise that both the older farmer and the younger farmer needs to be supported. In terms of how the proposals that were announced this week play out, we're going to have to wait and see. This week we had our lobbying day, we had the launch of our pre-budget submission, and we did get a very positive reaction to our pre-budget proposals. But in terms of the delivery, it's a wait and see. We'll have to wait and see what's actually delivered and to see do our elected representatives talk the talk or walk the walk. We are the future of farming. Our young farmers are young trained farmers. They're passionate and we want to be given every opportunity that we can to be able to farm and to have the career that we choose to have.
With the government obviously going into negotiations, holding the European Council presidency next year, there it feels like there's this kind of tension between how you balance the needs of young farmers and older farmers. But presumably, you're going to want to see the government really optimising and campaigning, lobbying for your agenda and that of the young farmers.
Exactly. And we this is something that we have highlighted, and we look forward to working with both our department and with the Commission to ensure the future for young farmers and to preserve the commitments that were made to young farmers in the proposed cap that was announced this week.
And that was Josephine O'Neill, President of Mochrane and the Firma. Minister Michael Healy-Reid, there's obviously been lots of concerns expressed all week about what is being speculated on here. But do you accept that there could be maybe some advantages and pros for those younger, newer farmers?
Well, the proposals involve major changes in structure that we will now have to study in detail in order to better understand the impact on Ireland. And we in government are assessing the detail of the proposals. Our approach to the negotiations will follow the clear priorities for CAP already, which were articulated by Minister Hayden, and they'll set out in Ireland, they were set out already in Ireland's position paper on the MFF. But our priorities remain a cap that is more straightforward for farmers, that would be more flexible and responsive, with an appropriate balance between economic, social and environmental sustainability, with an adequate budget for an effective cap. But what I would say about Minister Martin Hayden, he will play a very active role in negotiating with the Agricultural and Food Commissioner and the European Parliament's Agri Committee, of course, and with his fellow EU agricultural ministers, in order to ensure that Irish priorities are reflected in the final agreement. And as you know, he will play a leading role in our presidency of the Council of the EU in the second half of 2026 as an honest broker. Okay. And he will do his best for the farmers of Ireland, and I can assure you of that.
Thank you for that, Minister. Martin Kenny, same question to you. Obviously, we know there's negatives and this could disadvantage older farmers, but do you think there's opportunities here now for those younger farmers?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a very bad way to start punishing older farmers as a means of trying to push them out of the land, because that's not going to work. Number one, I think what we need to be looking at is putting incentives in place for younger farmers to become involved in farming, and the best way to do that is to make it profitable and sustainable into the future. In the past, we had measures like installation aid. You know, we need to see that type of thing put in place to ensure that young farmers can have the confidence for to go farming, for to buy land, for to try and advance and to make an opportunity for themselves and their families. This change or this move is something that has been happening for decades. For decades now, and each time there's a negotiation, the CAP fund is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And that's a very, very bad sign, because ultimately, at the end of the day, people need food, they need quality food, we need high standards. We've got that in Ireland. We have a unique farming experience in Ireland, where, you know, it's grass-fed animals, free roaming, it's all of those things which people, the family farm, which is what consumers want to get their food from. And yet we see a continuous pressure on farmers to get out of farming, basically. So that needs to change, and that will only change if we have the proper commitment from government. I think this proposal is a poor reflection on how well the government have done for to be able to put the pressure on to ensure that we have at least the base where we don't see a decrease. This is a decrease of 20%. Over 20% in the budget. And we also have getting rid of the two pillars, which have been absolutely vital for decades.
OK, Paul Lawless, same to you. As a young TD with lots of rural parts of Mayo, and presumably you're in contact with younger farmers all the time, do you see the upshots here?
This is very worrying for farmers. It's very worrying for Irish people, and in terms, it's very worrying for the continent of Europe, because CAP was introduced post-World War II to introduce food security. And over the years, we've realised how important that is. Like, I mean, if you look at the food security and the supply chain was called into question during COVID, during Ukraine, during the Suez Canal crisis as well. And we have a situation in Europe where the geopolitical situation is intensifying, where Brussels is seeking to spend more money rearming. And at that this particular time in our juncture, when food security has never been more important, we are now seeking to reduce CAP budget by 22%, which in terms of inflation will be about 30%.
I know, and a lot of those arguments have been rehearsed all week. But I'm just curious on the, when you listen to Marco and the Firma there, and the specifics here around that starter pack for young farmers, initiatives that would see them going from 100,000 to 300,000 to try and get them started on new farms that might help with experimentation, building knowledge, maybe making Ireland more competitive through these younger farmers.
We will support anything that will help younger farmers, but we will not do it at the expense of pensioners. The fact is that the demographics in farming in Ireland are about a third of farmers are over the age of 65. So what we are essentially saying to those farmers is that you will not be able to farm any longer. And that is the reality because the farming model has been built on, particularly beef and sheep, has been built on subsidies. And if we remove those subsidies, farming will become no longer viable for those people. Some of those people will not have any ability to hand that on, and they will no longer be able to farm. And that is very, very concerning. It's concerning for rural communities where family farms are so crucially important. And Ireland will suffer disproportionately more than any other country, and regional Ireland, where farming is the backbone. And we must remember, in the last recession, the agri community was the lifeblood of rural Ireland. And this CAP proposes to put a knife through that, in the words of Francie Gorman. We will stand up for farmers. But also, Anya, we must ensure that the farming model where farmers get a fair proportion of the price for food is really important. And the agri regulator has stated that it doesn't have teeth to address the anti-competitive practices that exist in farming at the moment.
My thanks to our political panel today, Minister Michael Healy, Ray Martin Kenny of Sinn Féin and Paul Lawless of AIM2 for joining us. That is all we have time for today. And indeed, it brings this programme to the end of its season. I know Colm and the team are very grateful to all of you for listening through the year. They'll be back with you when the Dáil resumes in September. And just to say thanks today to Sean Moran, who was our broadcast coordinator. Research was by Cormac Burke. Jamie Dáil was on sound in Dublin, and Brian Namuk in Kerry. The programme was produced by our series producer, Regina Henley. Up next here on RTÉ Radio 1 is Saturday Sport with Joanne Cantwell and Marie Crowe.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ.